worthy is the Lamb. The Lamb of God. It was John the Baptist who was baptizing and looked over and saw Jesus coming. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And we're here today to behold the one who took away the sins of the world. Died on a cross for us. Though we may not physically see him today, it is by faith and faith alone.
Yes.
Amen?
That's right.
That we believe what he did for us. Lord, this morning as we reflect, and Lord, we do exactly what you taught us to do. You said every time that we take of the bread and the juice representing your body and your blood, to do it in remembrance of you. So Lord, yes, it's a memorial service to you. But Lord, this is a story that has a great ending because of the power of the blood. And we praise you for it today. In your mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Good Friday. We've gathered today, and I like titles because I think they help us a little bit, but I'm probably not real good at titles. But today I want to talk to you about him being crushed. Isaiah 52 is where we're going to start this in a few minutes, and we're going to read into 53. And it's a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament is full of types and shadows of what is to come in the New Testament. These types and these shadows that are found in the Old Testament were meant to prepare us for the reality of what was going to happen. If I could put it in modern day terms, it would be something like this. Or a certain man may go on the internet and visit eBay. We probably all know what eBay is. And there he saw advertised a really beautiful, nice soprano saxophone. He had a desire for this saxophone and wanted to get one, but he's on eBay and he wants it, but he's not sure about buying it off of eBay. Why? Because he had to rely on a picture. He had to rely on a description to help him decide whether or not this soprano saxophone is what he wanted. Well, he went ahead and decided to purchase it. When he did it, he received it from FedEx, and he got to see it in person and feel it for himself. Well, in many ways, that's what the Old Testament is, a picture. It's the relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we get to see the picture. We get to see the type, the description of what the coming Redeemer is like. In the New Testament, the Redeemer, according to John, in 1 John 1:1, this is what he says, that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. All of a sudden, what they had heard about, what they had seen a picture of in the New Testament became reality. And John is saying, this is the word of life. That we said, we go to the synagogue week after week, and we're trying to learn and we read about it, but it's happened. For us living in the century in which we live today, it's 21st century now. The Holy Spirit is now the FedEx of God. It's the Holy Spirit that brings reality to the risen Lord. A servant who's going to be exalted. Let me read it to you here in Isaiah 52:13 for a moment. It says, "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Now the Jewish people, you need to understand, we're looking for a heroic Messiah, a deliverer. Their understanding came from the earliest messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. In fact, Deuteronomy 18:18 was one of those early ones. It says, Moses was writing this, and it says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I have commanded. It was another picture, another foreshadowing of what he was going to be like. Well, since Moses was a delivering prophet, he had delivered the Hebrews from slavery in Egypt, and then it stood to reason that the Messiah would be a prophet like unto Moses, and he would be a delivering Messiah. So the Jews thought he was coming to deliver them, but they thought from the oppression of the Romans. Others looked for a great teacher. They wanted a Savior who was a good teacher. A teacher who could lead them to understand the mysteries of life. A lot of religions are trying to do that today. Trying to help people with understanding, good teaching. Certainly Jesus was a great teacher. A great teacher of righteousness. But is that all Jesus was? Some are looking for the all-inclusive Savior that will ultimately save the world regardless of whether people accept His message of redemption or not. They want Him to just come and save everybody. I want you to know Jesus had a great compassion and a great love for everybody. He loves everybody. He loves the lost. It's true. But is that all Jesus was? Well, Isaiah's prophecy brings some light on the scene. The ministry of Jesus, the suffering servant. Let me read it to you out of Isaiah 52, and the New International Version puts it this way. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised up. Raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Can you see that? Of course, historically, we can go back and see what it meant. But for them, they're thinking he's a king. In verse 14, but listen to this. But just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they've not heard, they will understand. This passage flows into chapter 53 and verse 1. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. Heavenly Father, today, may our ears hear your word. And not only hear it, but become doers. In Jesus' name, amen. The suffering Savior. I want to just take a few minutes and remember what he went through, what he did for us. At the Passover, if you remember, we spent last Sunday looking at that. The Passover in Luke, he tells us that he took the cup. It says this, in the same way after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. This new covenant, this blood that was going to be poured out for you and me, was going to be his life. He was about to give his entire life. He's saying, my body is going to be broken and my blood is going to be shed. It's no longer the law that is going to save you because nobody can live up to it. But I'm going to save you. My blood. New covenant with you. One thing you need to understand about covenants, covenants really can only be broken one way, and that's through death. So it was either all of mankind die so the covenant could be broken, or God had to die. And God comes and pays the ultimate price, dies to break the old covenant, to offer a new covenant in his blood. Incredible story. In fact, after that supper, it says they sang a hymn and they went to Gethsemane. I want you to sing an old hymn with me and just the chorus of it this morning, afternoon. It just says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. See, at that Last Supper, they would have sung a hymn that probably came out of the Psalms. I don't know, maybe they made a song out of this Isaiah passage like this writer did. They sang the hymn and then they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. It was at the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus begins the suffering for us. He prays and kneels down, and three times he prays this, and he goes to his disciples and he has to wake them up and says, could you just tarry 1 hour with me? The third time, though, after this, he comes to them and tells them, get up. It's time. But listen to what he prays in Luke chapter 22, 42. He says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done. So they're in the garden and he gets up and he says, okay, it's time, boys. And all of a sudden, Judas, the one who was going to betray him, comes up to him in the garden. There's a crowd, the Bible says, and foot soldiers that walk in. And Judas kisses Jesus. For he was betrayed with an intimate kiss. A kiss that's supposed to say, I love you. A kiss that would have been, you're my friend. I'm greeting you. But it's with the kiss that Jesus is betrayed. This morning I want to crush some grapes for us, and one of the very first things in the turn of the Messiah as he was betrayed. Maybe this morning you feel like you've been betrayed. Somebody's left you behind. Somebody has abandoned you. I want you to know the Savior knows what it feels like to be betrayed. He did it for us. Because the sins that come out of betrayal, the bitterness, the anger, the frustration, He knows the pain. And that's why He's about to go to a cross to pay for it all. After the betrayal, we find that all of a sudden He's arrested and they take Him off and they have a trial in the early hours of the morning where they bring in false accusers. It's a mock trial. And they bring in those that begin to accuse Him of certain things. And once again, the pressure will begin to be applied to His life. And all of a sudden, He stands there and just acknowledges who He is. Of course, they call Him a blasphemer. Has anybody ever accused you of something that's untrue? Brought you before court? But you know what? The Bible says that we live by truth. And Jesus is the truth. And that's why He could stand there. He knew truth. He knew what He was about to do for you and I. And once again, the accusing comes, but Christ is going to walk this path for you. And He's going to be crushed for you. While He's in that scenario is going on, He's also disowned. Peter's been with Him 3 years. Peter's the one that said, "I'll never deny you. I'll stay. In fact, you won't have to die. I'll die for you." Little girl comes up to Peter and says, "Weren't you with Him?" Peter says, No, you must be mistaken. That wasn't me." Another person comes up. No. I don't even know Him." A third person. No, I don't even know who He is. And it says that at that point, Jesus and him caught eyes. And the rooster crowed. Denied. Disowned. Maybe we felt disowned by someone. Jesus is about to take that to Calvary for you. So you don't have to bear that. He knows what it feels like. And then the story goes on and tells us. So let me read the passage to you. The guards that had Him at that moment. Do you realize what they did? Let me read it in Luke 22. 63 says the men who were guarding Jesus, they began mocking and beating Him. They blindfolded Him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to Him. And the pressure continued. All of a sudden, Jesus, I don't know, have you been insulted, made fun of, mocked, beaten up? All of these things He is about to carry to the cross so you don't have to carry the shame or the guilt or the pain of it anymore. I know so many times we sing that portion and we quote it, that by His stripes we are healed. And I want you to know, I do believe it's for physical healing, but it's also for that internal, spiritual, mental thing that's happening within you that wants to rip you apart. God wants to come and heal you and touch your life so you don't have to bear the pain. The Jews couldn't do anything with him because of their laws, so they had to take him to Pilate. He's taken before Pilate. Pilate didn't know what to do with him, so Pilate sends him off to Herod. Herod just wanted to see a miracle. I don't know about you, I can see Jesus standing there and he said nothing. But Herod's like, perform a miracle for us. Would you just show us who you really are and everything will be fine. They put a robe on him. And they said, Hail, King of the Jews. Sometimes you're going to be mocked for what you stand up for. You're going to be made fun of for what you believe. But I want you to know I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power, that salvation that he did. It was foreshadowed. It was a picture. It became reality for you and for me. And by faith today, we believe it. Herod had his fun, sent him back to Pilate. Pilate was trying to figure out a way to get rid of this issue. And all of a sudden he remembered, you know, as a custom is to release a prisoner to you. And so he brings out Barabbas, a notorious murderer. Brings him out and says to the crowd, I'll let you choose. Barabbas or Jesus? And the crowd begins to cry, Give us Barabbas! Give us Barabbas. Have you ever not been selected? Have you ever been where you weren't chosen? I'm telling you, he chose you that day. He chose you when he went to the cross. Because he said, I'm doing this for you. Pilate, still concerned, not knowing what to do, he washes his hands of the matter. And then he thinks, well, maybe if I have him flogged, maybe if I have him beaten, then just maybe that will satisfy the people. So he has him taken off and they begin to whip him and beat him. And they begin to crush who he is. I want you to hear something this morning. He brings him back. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And the people were there. And he said, what about now? And the people began to yell, crucify him. Crucify him. And the people yelled in Matthew 27:25, listen. And all the people answered, let his blood be on us and on our children. I don't even think the people really understood what they were prophetically saying. They were saying, let the penalty of us sending him to the crucifix be on us. But do you understand the propheticness of this statement? That his blood would cover us, our sins. And then the soldiers began to lead him away. In Matthew 27, this is what the scripture says. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him. Then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him. They took the staff that they put in his hand and they struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe, put his own clothes on him, and they led him away to be crucified. They crushed him. They took nails and they nailed him to a cross. Again, people mocked him on the cross. Matthew 27:41, in the same way, listen to this, the chief priest, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusted God. Let God rescue him now if he wants. For he said, I am the Son of God. Goes on. And in the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Do you know those that were crucified, they're mocking, they're dying, and they're mocking him. And I want you to know, after that story, one of those robbers cried out, even after mocking him, said, remember me. And Jesus told him, today, you will be with me in paradise. Because he made a decision to believe. Jesus fulfilled everything written about him. John 19:28 says, later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, and so they soaked a sponge in it. They put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Every drop of blood shed for you and for me, crushed for you and for me. Folks, I don't want to ever forget what he did. In fact, Isaiah, let me read it to you again in verse 5 of 53, says, he was pierced for our transgressions. And he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace. Are you at peace today? Because it was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. I don't know if you've ever experienced this type of crushing, this type of pain, and what a grape undergoes so that we can be refreshed by its juices. The fruits that undergo crushing and pressing so that we can be nourished, so we can have life. It was a picture. And today, this is only a picture, just a shadow of what he did, because he really did it for you and for me. This morning, we're going to partake of the elements. This morning we're going to be using, and you're welcome. We've already broken some of the matzah bread, but you can break off your own if you want. And just remembering, I'm going to ask that you come, and pastors will be here to serve you. And after you're served, if you'll just go back to your seats, and then we will partake together. As we sing this song this morning, I'm going to invite you to go ahead and come. Pastors, would you come? And it says, nothing but the blood of Jesus, amen, can wash away my sins. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood. Pastor Ed, do we just want to dismiss them all to come? Or is there you can just come from your seats, or we won't try to over-organize this, but you're welcome to go ahead and come as we begin to sing.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, yeah.
of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
Take a moment and read another foreshadow to you. It was an image that the Lord gave us way back in Genesis with Abraham. When Abraham was to take his son Isaac up onto a mountain, and the Lord had told him that he would sacrifice Isaac. Isaac was a type and a foreshadow of Jesus Christ. In fact, it says, chapter 22 of Genesis, verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and he placed it on his son Isaac. Isaac was the one who carried the wood to the top of the mountain. Much like Jesus carried his cross, it was placed on him, and he carried his cross to Golgotha. It was foreshadowed. It was a picture that became reality. The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I want to give thanks today. It's solemn, but it is worthy of gratitude. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you today and we are grateful that you were crushed for us. Lord, I may not fully ever understand it. And Lord, I may not be able to see how ugly it really was. But Lord, I want to thank you today that your body was broken. Lord, that you took stripes for my healing. Lord, I pray that you will heal us today. Lord, mentally, physically, spiritually. Lord, every part. Let the full atonement of what you did come and be a part of our lives. For I praise you. I praise you for what you did. In Jesus' name, we receive today. Amen. Would you receive together? In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. And whenever you eat of the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Folks, I got to tell you, Jesus is coming back. Now, not just from the dead, because he already did that. He's coming back for a church, for a body of believers, because he shed his blood for anyone who would receive. Heavenly Father, I praise you today, once again, that you were crushed for my sin. So, Lord, I want to praise you and thank you that I don't have to bear the penalty of my sin. You did that for me. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake together. As we close, there's a song I want us to sing. But I want to read a scripture to you. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. Remember what we read earlier? He would be exalted and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Folks, that is a picture today of what is yet to come. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord of all. See, today, we still have a picture. But will you believe it by faith? And know by faith, he's coming back. Amen? I'm going to ask you to stand. This is going to be our benediction today. And I'm going to pray right now. And then we're going to sing this song. And I want you to lift it with your heart and your voice today, as we proclaim, Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you for us having time to remember what you did for us. So Lord, as we leave this place today, may this song resonate with us, that it is in Christ alone that we have hope and peace and life today. For your glory, amen. Would you lift it?
In Christ alone, my hope is found, fullness of God in righteousness. This gift of love in righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, and bursting forth in glorious day. Power of Christ, I'll stand.
on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. You believe that? You have a blessed day in the Lord, and you remember, don't ever forget what a wonderful Savior we have. Amen. Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, 10:15, we're going to talk about His victory. Amen. Have a Jesus-filled day.